Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning a comparison of Demas and Luke, and we asked these two questions. Who were Demas and Luke, and what spiritual choices did Demas and Luke make? So as we were answering the first question, we noted Demas was listed with Luke and the others as Paul's fellow laborers in Philemon 24. But in Paul's inspired letter to the Church of Christ at Colossae, Demas was listed without any other word, whereas the other brethren who had sent their salutations were well complimented by Paul, Colossians 4:7-14. Now that could have been an indication of the downfall of Demas. We note that the Colossian and Philemon epistles were written during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. Now, concerning Luke, we mentioned that he possibly was of Grecian origin, born and raised in Antioch in Syria. Of course, we know that Luke is the inspired writer of the Gospel according to Luke and the book of Acts. And something we noted was in Colossians 4:14, the Apostle Paul called Luke the beloved physician, and we can be assured that he was well educated. Now, what spiritual choices did Demas and Luke make? Well, of course, the greatest choice they made was when they obeyed the gospel of Christ. And, of course, they were working with the Apostle Paul and spreading the precious gospel of Christ, working together. And so that was a great choice. And, you know, when we get to the scripture in 2 Timothy 4:10, we were so disappointed, you know, with this choice for Demas. Obviously, when, as we see here in the verse, "For Demas hath forsaken me," Paul the inspired apostle writing, "having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica." Possibly that's where his home was. And so that was a bad choice in leaving the Apostle Paul at a critical time, and this overshadowed all the other right choices that he had made. But now with Luke, we're going to, of course, note in 2 Timothy 4:11, "Only Luke is with me." Luke chose, of course, to stay with Paul. And now we want to pick back up with our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Remember the initials, PFE, to help us every day, continually, preparing for eternity. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as of course we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. That would be with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. Now, something else we want to mention. If you are interested in having a Bible study, we would love to set that up at your convenience. Let me back up and say one other thing about the assembling of ourselves together. When you come as a visitor, I can assure you that you are going to be well received and made to feel welcome. So I wanted to say that before I went any further. Now, something else to mention. If you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. Again, that address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, we have an announcement to make. It's fast approaching. Our spring gospel meeting is only a month away. Please mark your calendars for April 25th through the 27th, a three-day meeting, and our speaker will be Brother Randall Jones of Richardsville Church of Christ in Richardsville, Kentucky, a former preacher here at Morgan Street many years ago. And his theme is hope. So I know you'll appreciate hearing gospel sermons on that biblical subject of hope. So make your plans to be with us. We'll mention now the times, Friday and Saturday night, 7 p.m., Sunday, 9:30, 10:30, potluck lunch, delicious food. Our ladies are excellent cooks. And then we'll finish out with a 1 p.m. service. So again, we hope you'll make your plans to be with us for our gospel meeting. Now let's get to our study this morning as we're comparing Demas and Luke. And we noted, of course, in our study last week, we left off with Demas making a terrible choice to forsake the Apostle Paul. So here's our third question. What motivated Demas' choice to forsake Paul? In other words, why did Demas leave his beloved brother Paul while Paul, of course, was in need? He's facing execution. So we can mention several things. Some commentators believed it was because of immorality. Some believed it was for love of money or materialistic concerns. And perhaps some would say problems with his brethren. One commentator thought he had grave concern for his Jewish ancestry. Well, we do know this, that Demas did not put God and the church first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33. We know that Demas loved this present world. That's why he left Paul, because he loved this present world. And we want to know more of that phrase, present world. And thus, we need to note the Greek word here for present is N-U-N, and it's pronounced noon. And I looked this up in the Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, and it means now and is translated present with reference to this age or period or word. So as you notice its use in other verses, I think it will help us to hone in on our question of what motivated Demas to forsake the Apostle Paul. Now, again, the term now, well, at this time, I'm recording this sermon, and that's right now, isn't it? It's present. And so keep that in mind as we note here in the other scriptures, Romans 8:18, for example. For I, Paul is writing by inspiration, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So there's a time after this time that we're living in this life. Of course, that would be eternity. So with the sufferings now, well, that's, you know, light compared to suffering in the fires of hell for eternity, is it not? So note that word present, the same Greek word N-U-N there in Romans 8:18. Now let's go to Titus 2:12-13. Teaching us, Paul again, the inspired writer, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And UN is the Greek word here for present, this present world, just as we saw in 2 Timothy 4:10, that for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now notice to finish out the verse, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So here in Titus 2:12-13, Romans 8:18, what are we seeing? These passages, the context is living in this present life to prepare for eternal life, which is not of this present world, but is that world which is to come. So that's going to help us in understanding, likely, that Demas, because of his fondness for keeping his life, the pleasures of this life, he enjoys, and he doesn't want to lose that. And he didn't want to make the sacrifice, especially if it meant dying for the cause of Christ. Paul made that sacrifice, as we know from history. He was beheaded. Luke was willing, if necessary, to die. You see the difference between the two. And I wanted us to note in Luke 8:14, because here is the parable of the soils, or it's representing hearts, of course, four different types of hearts. The hard-hearted person doesn't even accept the word of God and doesn't obey the gospel. And there are two that do obey the gospel, but then fall away. The rocky soil and the thorny area where the seed was planted, well, that plant got choked out by the thorns and the rocky soil. It didn't take root, and thus persecution came and person fell away. That's the point. But I wanted us to note here in Luke 8:14, as again, the seed was the word of God, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, a person can be involved in the pleasures of this life and not be participating in immorality. You see, we can be playing sports and having good, you know, recreational time. But if that's taking away from our serving God, and if we're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, because of sports or some other wholesome activity, you could say, but you see how that's causing us to fall away? Yes, our faith is getting choked out by these cares, getting involved in so many things in the life that we're living, forgetting about the life that's to be after this life. And of course, riches, some people are with the love of money, and that's the root of all evil, the love of it, not the money itself. So let's take note of that. We can be involved in sin without being an immorality. Demas, the same. He may not have been an immoral person at all, as some have thought. But let's go on now and ask question number 4 in our study. What motivated Luke's choice to stay with the Apostle Paul? Why did Luke choose to stay with the Apostle Paul when Demas had forsaken him? To answer simply, Luke put God and the church first in his life, as we mentioned Matthew 6:33 a moment ago. He did not love this present world as Demas did. You see, that's the difference. Well, it would be of great profit, I believe, for us to go deeper into our study of Luke's motivation. So let's do that. When Paul wrote his second inspired epistle to Timothy, he was a prisoner in Rome for the second time, awaiting his execution. Notice verse 6 here in 2 Timothy 4. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul is ready to depart this present world by dying for the cause of Christ. And again, we noted history records Paul as being beheaded in Rome. And earlier, remember what Paul wrote in his inspired letter to the Church of Christ at Philippi during his first imprisonment in Rome? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. And notice chapter 2, verse 17, still in the letter to the Church of Christ at Philippi. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Well, being offered, you know, is giving your life. No doubt Luke, who was with the Apostle Paul during his first imprisonment, understood and believed what Paul wrote. Now, remaining with Paul during his second imprisonment, Luke's life was in jeopardy too. And he's ready to sacrifice his life, if need be, in order to help his beloved brother Paul in Christ. You know, he truly is an example of agape love, which is to love as Christ loved his disciples. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:12-13. Do we have that kind of love? Well, we should. Was not Jesus' love for his disciples and all of us today demonstrated by his sacrifice on the cruel cross of Calvary for my sins? Yes, and for yours. And because Luke, the beloved physician, understood the sacrificial love of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Luke was motivated to practice what the inspired Apostle John would later write. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. That's interesting to note, isn't it? Well, are not all Christians admonished by the inspired Apostle John to have a sacrificial love for the brethren? Well, of course. And we need to appreciate that. It should be encouraging to all Christians as we realize that our coming death is but a departure from this life to the next. Do we not sing hymns and spiritual songs concerning heaven, concerning going through death's door? Well, we sure do sing a lot of them. If you'll note, for example, Beautiful Isle of Somewhere, Beyond the Sunset. Yes, Heaven Holds All to Me. Here we are but straying pilgrims, home of the soul, how beautiful heaven must be. And I live in glory. I'll live on in heaven there singing, in the land of fadeless day, just a few more days, just over in the glory land, and on I could go. The point is made, isn't it? We sing these hymns and spiritual songs to remind us of what is to come as we go through death's door. Surely Luke, like Paul, the beloved apostle, the beloved physician Luke, they could say, yes, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now the question for us this morning, can we say as Paul, and no doubt Luke could say that as well, well, can we say, for me to live is Christ, to continue to serve Christ, and to glorify God in the life I have left, but to die is gain, and I'm ready to die if it was right now? Can we say that? Something to be very, concerned about how we answer that. Now, Let's remember that we are as pilgrims just a passing through. Yes, as one of those hymns, here we are but straying pilgrims I mentioned before. We all appreciate the sacrifice of our soldiers' lives as they're in foreign countries, and how many have been killed in wars that have gone on down through history, in fighting for our freedom. We do appreciate that, do we not? Having been in Vietnam years ago and having close comrades that I served with giving their life, of course, the wall with the names on it, I know some of those names as I've seen it now several times, once in Washington and when it was brought here, the exhibit in here in Martinsville. Yes, that means a lot to me, knowing those men and what they were willing to do for their country. What about the medical personnel, how they risk their lives when treating diseases like COVID that are contagious? We appreciate their sacrifice, do we not? Our police officers, how many have died in duty of serving their fellow man? Do we appreciate that? Well, we certainly should. And we could talk about how people have died trying to save others, children especially. What is the reason for these examples of self-sacrifice? Is it not because a greater good can result from one's self-sacrifice? Let's think about that. Now, the ultimate sacrifice of life is the sacrifice of Christ for the sins of mankind. And this is for the good of all mankind. God the Father gave His only begotten Son as the sacrificial lamb offering so that every person who has ever lived or ever will and is accountable to God could have their sins washed away by His precious blood. That's the ultimate sacrifice, is it not? And we all should shout amen. Of course it is. So we have other examples of Christians like Paul and Luke who were ready to die for the cause of Christ and for the brethren. Well, all the apostles were willing to die for the cause of Christ, as history reveals to us. All but John were martyred. John, the only one dying of old age, as Jesus had said after He had resurrected and met with His apostles. Yes. And I want us to go now to Romans 16, 3 through 4, because this certainly relates to our study this morning. And that is what Paul said about Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workmen in Christ Jesus, who for my life their own neck did lay down, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the assemblies of the nations. This godly couple was ready to sacrifice their lives for the cause of Christ. It was said of early Christians by Tertullian, note, behold how they love one another. They are ready to die for one another. That's the point. That's what we want to learn from this lesson of Luke's motivation to choose to stay with Paul. Yes. You know, man's greatest demonstration of genuine love in this present world is self-sacrifice. But as great as this type of love is, it just cannot compare to God's love for man, can it? And note John 10:11, Romans 5:7-8, Galatians 1:4, Ephesians 5:2, 1 John 3:16, as we noted earlier. study these verses. Our time is up, but I wanted us to close with this thought. Are we prepared to die? Are we looking forward to being in heaven with God and all the faithful, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, and all the angels of heaven? If we have not obeyed the gospel, we're not prepared to die. If we become unfaithful, we're not prepared to die. And it's not too late to do something about it. That's right. We can find in the scriptures God's direction for our lives and how we are to become a child of God in obeying the gospel. It's laid out for us in the New Testament. Now we study, of course, the Old Testament, learn from the examples that are there, but we're not under that law that God gave to Moses, who in turn gave to the nation of Israel. We're not part of that nation. If we were, we would need to obey the gospel. We're all under the law of Christ. Whether people will admit that or not, we're under it. And unless we obey the gospel of Christ, we're going to be lost in our sins. And of course, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is Romans 10:17. We can have biblical faith no other way. That's the way it comes. We're now to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for my sins. He died for yours. Yes, we must believe that. Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins, Jesus said in John 8:24. Now, having believed that Jesus died for our sins, are we not motivated, ready to do God's will? Get out of a sinful life, going in a new direction, which is the direction God gives us. And so we don't know the way. We have to submit to God in order to go in the right way, which leads to heaven. We need to change our will. Yes, repent. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5. Now, having repented and gotten out of a sinful life, we're ready to go forth and make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, now we're ready to be immersed, to be buried into a watery grave. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Romans 6:3-5. Jesus shed His blood in His death, therefore we must be baptized into His death to contact His precious blood. He adds us to His body, the true church, when we come up out of the watery grave, Acts 2:47. And here's where we need to remain faithful even unto death, and we thank you so much for listening today.